Psalms 119, look here at verse 17. I'll read this and then have a word of prayer, and we're going to go through Psalms 119. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to be able to sing these songs and how they encouraged our heart and challenged us to live for you. Lord, I thank you for the time of testimony. It's just wonderful to hear people giving you praise and Lord, how we as a church have that unity, that love for you and love for each other and desire to keep your word. Lord, I think Brother Fielder, Father, would always say something if we left here even right now. We'd be blessed being in your house. But Lord, we also know that the preaching of your word is what we need as encouragement. And I pray that you'd help me with preaching it tonight and encourage our heart to love your word a bit more. Help us to be faithful to it. And I just pray for your blessing. Keep a hedge over us and keep us safe. In Jesus, your precious name we pray. Amen. So in Psalms 119, I believe this was probably written from David. God gave David what to write. I could be wrong. So sometimes I may say the psalmist and sometimes I'll just say David. And this, in this psalm, we know every single word is the very words of God. But almost every single verse, other than two or three, I can't remember how many, have something of God's word in it. So when you look at verse 17, keep thy word. Verse 18, at the end, law. Verse 19, commandments. Verse 20, judgments. Verse 21, commandments. Verse 22, testimonies. Verse 23, where we have statutes. Verse 24, testimony. So what you could see is God's word. This is the very words of God, but we could see there's a word or a couple words, depending on what verse you're in, that deals with that. So here it is, the psalmist says, deal bountifully. That word bountifully means to treat a person well. It means to benefit. It means to reward. Here is the psalmist that is asking God. Here it is. It's like a request. Deal bountifully, right? It's like he's praying to the Lord in this psalm. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Look at his command. We'll come back to the part of the servant here shortly. But look at his request that he's making. He's not asking God for long life that he can enjoy the pleasures of this world. He didn't ask God for a long life that he can enjoy the material things of this world. He didn't ask God for extra time in this world to get out of the troubles that he's in, that he can go down to the lake and have more time of fishing, or get behind the couch to be able to watch television. They didn't have it in those days, but I guess you get the point I'm trying to make. The reality is, he wasn't asking for those things. What was it? He asked for this deal bountifully, right? Benefit me, reward me, that I can live longer and keep thy word. How many of us, if we were bringing a request to God, maybe we just heard from our doctor and it said, you only have two more weeks and you're dead. Some of us would make a request to God and say, Lord, give me more time. You know, I want to be with my wife or spend some time with my daughter or be able to talk to some people, whatever. And here is the psalmist is bringing a request. He's saying, Lord, I want to keep your word. Allow me to live longer. Give me a long life, and from that I can keep thy word. Well, would that be of our heart, our desire, that we want to keep the very words of God? That even if God would grant us another day. Do you ever think about this? God has granted you another day. God has granted you another week from last week. God has granted you a month from a month ago. God has granted you a year from a year ago. God has given you more time. But a lot of times we don't think about that. A lot of times you think about time just keeps on going. And we don't think about time a lot of times until we get older. And as we get older, maybe we're getting closer to the end of our life. And then think about it now. You know, today, think about it today. I mean, God has given you a day. Now, this day is almost over. But if God tarries and gives you, will you use tomorrow to serve him? Will you use tomorrow to make sure you spend time reading his word? The psalmist was asked, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. He wasn't making requests and saying, Lord, you give me an extra year, I can finally get to the Grand Canyon. You give me an extra year, I can climb Mount Everest. No, I want to just keep your word. Oh, if there would be that desire that's in our heart. But we could see why. It says, deal bountifully with thy servant. This was probably written from David. Again, the Holy Spirit told David what to write. And you think about David. David was king. Whatever King David wanted, King David could have got. And here it is, as king over Israel, he says, I'm still a servant to God. And that doesn't mean that David was perfect, because he was not. And God chastened him, and there was things that were, God dealt with him. But he said, I'm a servant. I am thy servant. Do you ever think about, you and I are servants for God? I mean, we are the servants of the King of Kings, the God of heaven. We are his servants. Whatever God wants, that should be our life. We should say, Lord, whatever thy will is, thy will be done. Now, I'll be coming back here. Look over here to Colossians, in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Actually, I think it's Colossians 3. Colossians 3, I'm sorry. Colossians 4 is good, but look at Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, starting at verse 1, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, so you could see here, he's not talking about that we're already in heaven, right? He's talking about that you're born again, you're saved, right? That's what he speaks of. If ye be risen with Christ, so again, remember in the book of Romans where it says he died for us and he arose again, right? That's what he speaks of, that you're in that, you have a believer, you're a new creature because you're in Christ. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I mean, do you really see, and do I really see, that he is our life? I mean, yes, he's our life as he gave us eternal life, but as in living for him, I want to live for him. Is that really our desire? Do you know what happens? Sometimes when you get saved, you get on fire for God. Then life happens. And what I mean is trials come in and things happen and problems happen, and we lose that fire for God. That we had that fire, we want to tell everyone and their brother about Jesus. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. That song that we sang. You know what's sad when you sing that song? It says, millions grope in darkness. That's not the case anymore. Billions grope in darkness. Oh, would it set our heart on fire for God again? Here it is. He talks about when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And he's coming back. Amen? It doesn't matter if you're ready for him or not. Amen? He is coming. Amen? But is he our life? Go back here to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119. So we see that in verse 17, his desire. In verse 18, look what he says. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Here is his next request to God. His first request is, yes, to God, you allow me to live longer, that I can keep your word. And now it's kind of like his prayer that he's bringing before the Lord, or this request. What is this request? God, that you'd open my eyes. Now, he was a believer. Now, you think about at that time, he would have had the Holy Spirit to sit on him or dwell on him, and Holy Spirit could come and go. We have him dwelling in us, and what a blessing it is. We have the completed Word of God. They did not have the completed Word of God. But the portions or the the scriptures that he did have, what was it? He said, Lord, open my eyes. I want to know it. I want to see these wonderful things. You know, as you continue to grow in the Lord, you spend time reading the Bible, studying, really thinking about it, meditating it. There's nothing new that's in this book. But isn't it wonderful, Miss Elma, when God opens your eyes and you could see something that's just like, wow. I enjoy during those studies on Wednesday evening talking about the types of Christ. And going through there, some of those, I have to tell you that some of them, I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, that's good. Amen? It's always been there. It was just like God opened my eyes and allowed me to see it. And it's just like, wow. And now when I go through and look at stuff, I just don't look at it the same anymore. Amen? Why? Because there's some wonderful things in this Word of God that encourages you. That verse or two verses I was telling you this morning, and it just really worked on my heart. I was just so happy when I thought about that, of His thoughts to me, how precious they are. God thinks of me, right? It's like, whoa, you know? I mean, there is so much that's in here. And here is the psalmist is saying, Lord, even though he didn't have the completed Word of God, even though he only had a portion of Scripture that's there, he said, what I have, I know it's wonderful. You open my eyes. Folks, can I tell you, we have the completed Word of God. When you take time and read your Bible, one of the first things you could do when you're praying, right? You always pray to Him and thank Him for who He is and thanking Him for saving you. You think about the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's teaching the disciples, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. So you're giving Him praise. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Remember, it's always in His will. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. From Thy is the kingdom of power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. But when we see that and we think about those verses, right? You're praying. And when you're praying, one of the best things you do is start out praising Him. And then start asking, confessing, Lord, forgive me. Amen. Forgive me whatever it is, the sin that's there. And then you can go in and say, Lord, help me to understand Your Word today. When you're reading the Bible, best thing to do is spend time praying. Ask the Lord to forgive you and say, Lord, help me to understand Your Word. And when you start reading it, just read it. Allow God to speak to your heart. Because there's a lot that's in this Bible. Amen? And there was the psalmist that was asking that. Amen? He desired... He wanted to know more. So do we see that at the beginning? The first verse that's here, the Psalms, it's like broken down into eight verses. It's each like set that's here is in eight verses. And what we see is this third set of eight. He starts out and you can see his desires for God's Word. And now he wants to learn more about God's Word. And here it is, his desire is he's growing closer to the Lord, and his desire, he wants to know more about God. Then he says in verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. I am a stranger in the earth. What was the psalmist referring to? Can I tell you, when you are born again, when you are saved, you are a stranger in this earth. You're a stranger to those that are lost. Think about it. There is something wrong from those that are lost eyes in you. You came on a day that's almost 90 degrees outside. And you came to church. You came to church to sit on these hard pews. To hear me preach. They will say, that doesn't make sense to me. Why would you want to come to church? You are a stranger, John. Why would you want to be in the house of... You got to get up tomorrow at 2 a.m. Why didn't you go home and sleep? John, you're a stranger, right? Oh, could I tell you, we may be a stranger to this world, but can I tell you, we're not a stranger to God. We're a child of the King. The psalmist was saying this because that's how others viewed him. And also, he saw himself, this is not my home. I am a pilgrim passing through. I don't feel comfortable in this world. Can I tell you, when you think about this world that we live in, I don't feel comfortable in a world. I don't feel comfortable sometimes in the state that I live in. And when I talk to Donnie, well, I'll have to call him Don. He'll say the same thing. I wouldn't be comfortable there in New York. Amen. Communist New York. But you think about in this state where they're getting ready to, and I'm praying for our governor, if she doesn't, to okay suicide. You know, I'm a stranger because I'm thinking that's murder. Don't ever do that. And we're living in a society, in a world where people are saying, oh, isn't that better? No, that's murder. They had 6 more months potentially to live on this earth. They're lost. They're dying to go to hell. And because they're in this pain or suffering that's there, they can think there is a God of heaven and I'm going to die and spend eternity in hell. And whatever I'm going through now is not compared to what I'm going through. And maybe they'll get saved. But now they're going to die. Can I tell you, if she signs that, can I tell you, every single person who commits suicide, she is guilty, she is guilty, she is guilty. And just like every single politician that put their name to that bill, God Almighty will hold them accountable one day. Joe, they think I'm a stranger. You better believe I'm a stranger in this world. I don't feel comfortable with that. Amen. I don't feel comfortable when they okay the murdering of babies. I don't feel comfortable when they talk about it's okay for homosexuality. I don't feel comfortable when they talk about these drag shows. I think they were talking about it over at what, Potsdam College or whatever. Can I tell you? We are strangers. What he was saying is this. I don't feel comfortable in this world. When you start growing closer to God, can I tell you, you'll start seeing this world for how wicked it is, and you'll realize how strange we are. That's what he's saying. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Because Miss Elmy needed some encouragement. He needed some encouragement. He feels like I'm all alone. You ever been there? As a believer, you felt like you're all alone. You felt like there's no one else there. Praise the Lord, that ladies thing. You can get together and talk. Amen. You're not alone. But sometimes, can I tell you, you may feel alone. Maybe you feel alone at your home. Maybe you feel alone at work. Whatever it is. And he's saying, hey, Lord, I need some encouragement. Hide not thy commandments from me. Here it is, his desires to grow closer to the Lord. And what we're seeing is here, as he's growing closer to the Lord, he sees how he truly is in this world, how the world views him as a stranger, but he desires God's word. Then he goes in verse 20, he says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it has unto thy commandments at all time. Can you imagine that? My soul breaketh for the longing that it has unto thy commandments at all time. He loved God's word so much, he wants to keep it. And you know what? He struggled just like you and me. Can I tell you, we on our best days, we may be forgiven, but the reality is this. We still struggle with our sin nature. And how much it broke his heart, how much it probably breaks your heart when you sin and say, oh, wretched man that I am, as Paul said in the book of Romans, my soul breaketh for the longing that it has unto thy judgment at all times. He had a desire. He wanted to keep God's word. He wanted to. Oh, could I tell you, if we would get back to that desire of saying, I want to keep God's word, and it breaks your heart when you don't. Do you ever think about this? When you are living for God like you should, when you just start stepping out of God's will, just a little bit, John, there's conviction. It's like, whoa, right? But you know what happens? When you take that conviction, you step out, and you take that conviction, and you push it to the side. Did you start stepping another step? And before you know it, you could be way over here from where you're supposed to be. And that conviction that you have, you no longer have the conviction like you once had. Those things you used to believe and stand, it's like you don't have it like you should. What has happened? God hasn't changed. We have. And the Holy Spirit is trying to work on us and trying to get us to get back. You have no idea the chastening that someone is going through if they're truly born again and they're stepping out of God's way. You have no idea. Other than Doris, when you start talking to them, you'll kind of have an idea when they give you a hard time. Amen? It's like, I didn't do anything. What did I do? Right? I'm not listening to your conversation. I just know how it works. Amen? You'll have some, what is it? It's because you're convicting them. You're getting them to the place where they're over here, just the looking at you brings them under conviction, which they thought, I put it to the side. And the reality is, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in you that's working on them. And then they get mad at you, not knowing God wants them back where they would just say, ooh, I don't want to do that. Amen? Folks, here it is. The song is because he drew closer to the Lord. My soul breaketh. He longed to keep God's word. Look as we continue on in verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, that do err from thy commandments. And now he's talking about others. The proud or the arrogant. The arrogant. You think about those that are rebuked, what means reproved. Why were they reproved? Because they didn't keep God's word. Why is it that they were cursed? Because they're not children of God. Think about this. As a born-again believer, you are blessed. God is watching over you. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? You think about it, if you're lost, you don't have the protection of God on your life. You are cursed. It's only the goodness of God that God may spare your life from the devil taking you, because the devil wants to take the lost, but God doesn't allow it. God's good. You think about children, right? Children in the house. Can I tell you, you think about it, children in the house that are saved, what a blessing. The children in the house that are lost, that's a burden, right? But the children in the house that are lost, they don't even understand how blessed they are that they're in a Christian home. You know why? Because the devil can't come in and get them. But Doris, when they stepped out, oh boy, amen? They won't understand what is going on. Amen? That's why as parents, it's best for you to pray for your children all the time. Amen? Keep on praying. Yet here, why were they cursed? Because they rejected God. God is a loving God. But God will deal with sin. And here is the psalmist is saying, Lord, I know the result of those who have rejected you, that they're cursed. He's kind of saying, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm saved. Amen. And but he sees this. Why was it? Because they erred from his word. Look what he says here in verse 22. He says, remove from me reproach and contempt. I think I wrote that down. Let me find it here. Where is that? Reproach is rebuke or disgrace. Contempt means shamed. He says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Was he thinking about maybe some kind of sin in his life? Remove from me the reproach or the disgrace and contempt, which is shame. Was there something in his life that he was thinking about and saying, Lord, I can't believe I did that? And was asking the Lord to remove it, to forgive him. I'm not 100% sure if it was something like that. Or was it others that were around him that were bringing him down? Or maybe those that were going against David, right? Those that should have known better. You think about King Saul and others that were going against David. I'm not 100% sure, right? The Bible doesn't really say, other than he's saying, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. But what we do know is this. The psalmist didn't want sin in his life. The psalmist didn't want anything that hindered him to walk that path for God. Sometimes in your life, you may not understand it. Well, God will prune things in your life. God will prune things, and sometimes God will prune people from your life. And sometimes that pruning is hurtful, but that pruning is helpful. Always remember that. It may be hurtful, but it'll be helpful. Because if you're going to grow, there could be something in your life that's going to be a hindrance from you to grow. Or there may be someone that will be a hindrance from you to grow. And God may prune them, remove them. I remember when I got saved, I had some friends. But you know, John, they didn't want to hang out with me anymore. Yeah, there you go. But they didn't want to hang out with me anymore. Because you know why? I would tell them about Jesus. Amen? Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to church. Amen? You always go to church. Yep, why don't you come with me? Amen? And I would always invite. And it was like they didn't want too much to do with me. I remember I went to my one friend. I don't know if he hopefully does know the Lord. But I remember I went to my one friend in a house, knocked on his door. He was married. And I went in there. And he was just like, why are you here? Because he saw my Bible. He's like, why are you here? So I tried to witness to him and stuff. And can't remember everything I told him and tried to, you know, invite him to church. And he didn't like it because he was one of my drinking buddies. That I remember years later that I think it was my brother who contacted me in those times. They still had local newspapers. I think they still have them, but it's very rare people. That he wrote something online in a local newspaper that if anyone found me, to let him know. He was trying to track me down. My brother said, hey, so-and-so is trying to get a hold of you. And I got a hold of him. You know what he said? I know what you were trying to do, and I understand now. And he actually came to Antrim. What a blessing that was, amen, to see him come to Antrim. Folks, can I tell you, there are some people that you go to, and they're like, I don't want anything. But can I tell you, John, they can't get away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will just work on their heart. Here it is. He's saying, remove from me. What was maybe sin, something that was struggling? I don't know what it was. Someone that was bringing him down. And he's saying, I have kept thy testimony. That was his desire. Look here as we continue on, verse 23. Princes, this would be leaders, right? Maybe King Saul and others of leaders also did sit and speak against me. But thy servant did meditate in thy precept. Here it is. He suffered persecution. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. Rachel, when you start living for God, can I tell you, I guarantee in your life, when you surrendered, I don't know, it was probably back in what, November or something like that. It seemed like maybe been a little bit before that. But it was like you got on fire for God. I can almost guarantee you in those 8 months later, you've probably been persecuted. Right? You know what that, you know what it is? That's a blessing. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. We don't like the last part, but if you think about it, the last part is ultimately, John, the result of the beginning part. They that live godly. That means you're doing something right. Amen? Well, what can I tell you? Sometimes when I get persecuted, I get excited. Not that I'm going through persecution, but it's like, woohoo! I'm living for God. Amen? It's exciting. Maybe not when I'm going through it, amen. No wonder they think I'm a stranger, amen, in this world. I'm getting all woo-hoo, you know. What is it? Because we love him. Here it is, David, as the psalmist, was trying to live for God. And he says, hey, those in authority that sat in authority were against me. But what did he do? Well, thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I didn't listen to their words, but I listened to your words, God. I meditated on it. When you go through persecution, can I tell you the best thing to do is get into this book and you'll be encouraged. You know? Can I tell you, if you want to grow closer to the Lord, the reality is you will be persecuted, right? And the reality is, think about it, when our Lord walked on this earth, he was persecuted. So you'll understand a little bit more of what he went through when we go through persecution. Now, our persecution won't be anything like his. But what was it? It was the Word of God that helped him. The Word of God helped him. That's what, when you go through this psalm, that's what you're constantly seeing. It's the Word of God that's helping. It's the Word of God that's helping. And look here at the last one. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. Here it is. The psalmist is saying that he received instruction from the very words of God. That it's his delight. His delight. I went to Price Chopper yesterday, and we were going to barbecue. I figured it was a nice day out to go barbecue. And I haven't been had to grill out in a while. And I was like, we're going to go barbecuing. And I had some hamburger that was already frozen, right? That was already there. The hamburgers were already frozen, whatever that was there. And we were going to eat those. Matter of fact, I may even want to get home. Won't be the best thing to eat, John, but that's probably what I'm going to eat. But anyway, I was going through Price Chopper, and I stopped, and I looked at the counter. And they had those hamburger, and someone made a hamburger. No, I'm exaggerating, but it was probably half a pound. Must have been, because I bought two and there was like a pound. It was like a half a pound hamburger, and it had mushroom and Swiss cheese in it. And the other one had bacon and cheddar in it. Oh, it was like a half pound of... And I looked at that, and I asked the guy that was working there, and he said, I just made them. And he said, I just bought 12 myself. Now, when a guy that's behind the counters is just bought some, you know that they're probably going to be good, right? Yeah. So if you just made them and bought some, I'm thinking, well, he didn't contaminate it or whatever. And I'm telling you, I took those home, and I put those on that grill. And we had the frozen ones on there, too. Julianne, no one touched the frozen ones other than Joy, right? And Joy had delight in it. I wasn't going to touch that frozen thing. Uh-uh. I was drooling for that other one. Oh, that was so good. You know it must have been good when Ariana ate one. And you know it must have been good when Debbie was drooling too and ate one. Amen. I mean, it was a delight. Oh, could I tell you, thy testimonies also are my delight. So it's like the counter. I'm like, whoa, look at this. Amen. Look how great this is. Amen. And it directs me. It's my counselor. When you think about this, and this is running down to verse 24, where he talks about God's word, it should encourage you to spend time in the Word of God. That if your Bible, when you pick it up, it's like, ugh. Then that means you're doing something wrong. It means you don't know him, or you're not right, or you're rushing. Something's wrong. Because when you pick up this book, as he said, open thou my eyes, I may hold wonderful things out of this law. Can I tell you, there is so much that's here. Just take your time and read it. Be encouraged by it. Because I tell you, when you leave this place, people out there, they're not going to encourage you. They're going to discourage you. And you're going to need God's word to help you until he returns. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a help and a blessing to these people. Lord, I thank you for the patience of them. Thank you for the wonderful service we had to sing songs to you. And Lord, to give you praise. And Lord, to have the time of be able to thanking you for everything you've done. Help us to apply what we have learned today to our heart and our lives. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.